We open up your word, looking for the truth that you have for us this day. Guide us into it. May we see the things that you have for us, that we would honor and glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. Years ago, Chuck Colson wrote in his book, The Body, he quoted Frances Havergal, who had a little poem that said, "Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of Thy face. Another year of learning upon Thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee." This morning marks the first Sunday, of course, of a new year. And as we gather here for worship, we gather around the table of the Lord as we come before Him. It's one of the things that we do is the greatest privilege for the Christian, is to come to the table of communion. We come to celebrate Him, to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We reflect, we remember, to be encouraged, to be refreshed. Could this be the year that Christ returns? Think about that. It's possible. Would the events that we see around us tell us anything about this? The things that we see taking place in our world, the things that we see taking place in our nation, and all these other things that are going on. 2023, what will it hold? What will you do for Christ? How will you help build His kingdom? Think about that. Think about the challenges. Challenge yourself. What will I be? What will I do? How will I live for Him? How will I present myself before Him each day? How will I handle the situations that come my way? A new year always brings speculation. A lot of times it brings a bunch of resolutions that make us feel good for a few minutes and maybe a few days, and they fall by the wayside. A new year brings hopes, hoping for what God wants to do and what He can do, hoping for things, dreams that we have, plans that we have, hopefully all in line with who He is. It's a time for some concrete plans to be made for the growth of His kingdom, so that there's no better place than for us to begin than around His table. As we gather for this Sunday of worship, it's our privilege to do so and to come around the table of communion, to come together in honor of His command, to do this in remembrance of me. We've just celebrated Christmas, His birth. The Christ child was born, that He was given to us. He started the process of that time when He would be able to do the work that needed to be done so that mankind could find salvation if they would seek Him. But He was born with a purpose, and He knew it. He knew what His purpose was, and on that one that would change this purpose, would change eternity for millions. And we celebrate that purpose here today. Our hearts should be filled with joy. Our hearts should be filled with anticipation as we think about what communion should mean to us. It's a very important time in our lives. And it's been instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to be a perpetual memory, a perpetual thing that we do constantly. Why? Because we need reminding. We are some of the most forgetful beings going. I don't care how many calendars we have, how many organizers we have, how many things are in there, we forget. And so the Scripture says He wants us reminded. He commands us to be reminded. A memory, a perpetual memory of what? Of His tremendous work and His tremendous love for each of us. His life. We remember His life. He came. We celebrated His birth. In a couple of months, we'll celebrate His death, His resurrection. We celebrate His ministry. and we think about what did he do, go back and read through the Gospels and see all of his work, all of his efforts, everything that he did in ministry. Remember that. Remember his suffering for us in our place, because he took our place. We couldn't do it. Remember his death. Remember his burial. All these things were real. His resurrection. Tremendous proofs out there that Jesus was raised from the dead. Impossible for man, not impossible for God. Think about that for a moment this morning. Let it sink in. Think about and remember those things. His fulfilling the requirements of the law of God that he had for us, that we couldn't fulfill in ourselves. And so he fulfilled those things on our behalf. If you turn to Colossians chapter 2, it gives us a glimpse of what Jesus was doing and what he did for us. Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse number 14. And this is why it's so important that we understand that Jesus lived and died and rose again. Because in verse 14 it says, he, being Jesus, erased the certificate of death with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. See, legally, the devil had a right to us. He had every right to us. And there was no way around it, because God had to abide by his righteousness. And so they didn't count, though, on the cross. The enemy didn't count on the fact that Jesus would die, shed his blood, and do those things. And so that written certificate that had your name on it, had my name on it, that he possessed and could shake in the face of God and say, see, these are my people. Jesus snatched it away from him and he took it. And as it says here, that opposes has taken it out of the way. How? By nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him, being Jesus. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of festivals or new moon or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance, the real thing, the solid stuff is the Messiah. And that's what he's teaching us here. That's where the solidness is. It's in the Messiah, Jesus. And so his taking away, stripping the enemy literally of his power, what does the devil have left? He has the lie. He has the lie. That's the only power he has against us, is the lie. And by the way, he uses it very well. He uses his lies very well, getting us to get our attention off Christ, getting us to focus on things. He uses it very effectively to deceive us, to help us to think that God's not fair, God's not this, God's not that, God wouldn't do this. And we go on with this long list. It's nothing new. Start in the Garden of Eden. God didn't say that, did he? God surely won't do that, will he? God is too nice for that. God's too kind for that. God wouldn't. And he begins the lies. And so if we're not aware of it, we can be easily deceived, because he's much wiser than we are. So what did God do? He gave us the belt of truth. He gave us the scriptures, the word of truth. We are to know it. We are to use it. We are to have it on us at all times, in it, and allowing it to take effect in our lives, because it's the truth that counters the lie, and it's the truth that overcomes. And so as Pilate was condemning Jesus to death, looking Jesus in the eye, Jesus mentioned truth, and Pilate says, what is truth? People are still asking about that today. What is truth? Pilate was looking truth right in the face. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is there. Communion is a time that we need to examine our own lives. Not to examine your neighbors, not to examine a family member, not to examine your own life, and make sure that you're clear in your conscience, between you and God, between you and other people. Husband with wife, wife with husband, parent with child, child with parents, employer with employee, a sibling with siblings, all of our relationships, where do they stand? How are we stacking up? Communion is a time when we enjoy special fellowship with the Lord, And that's why it's so important for us to focus on these things. That's why things like what happens with computers and stuff are always happening on Sunday morning. Why? To get our focus off what's going on and what's real. And if we allow that to happen, then we've been deceived. We can say, yeah, that all messed up, but hey, we got to get back to the focus. It's these elements that are here for us, the special fellowship that we have with Him. It should be the central focus in our worship. Today, when we take communion, and any time we worship, He is the focus. He is the one. And we have that fellowship with Him that's unique. And if we're not experiencing it, then we're not going to know really what I'm talking about. But in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John is writing a testimony of what happened and the literalness of what was going on. And John writes this in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you. Why was he going to do that? So that you may have fellowship along with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where the fellowship exists. And that's the fellowship that we can have. That's the fellowship that Jesus desires for us. Communion brings that fellowship about in our lives. It's a serious time. God takes it very seriously. And so it's a memorial to the work of His precious Son. God takes it very seriously. The price that was paid, the things that went on so that we could take this. So the next time you're tempted, think about how serious God takes communion. Think how serious it was for Jesus to go to the cross and say, you know, this really isn't worth doing. This really isn't worth getting involved in. This really isn't worth thinking about, because this is what it cost Jesus. And go back and remember what He endured for you. But communion is also a comforting time. And we should take that comfort in knowing the finished work of Christ, what He did, is sufficient for our lives and for our eternity. If we choose Him. You see, it's encouraging for us to be reminded of the victory that we have to live in each day because of what Christ has done for us. Each day we get up. Some days we get up and it's like, oh, I just want to roll over. I'm not doing today. We need to realize His victory is there for you today. His victory is there for you moment by moment if we will walk with Him and stay in step with Him. So it's a time of hope. Because we know that someday we will no longer gather for communion. Communion will be done away with. Communion will be abolished. Why? Because we'll then gather at His throne. We'll gather with Him at His throne. You just think the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. John says in Revelation, there was no temple there. What's up with that? Where are we going to go to worship? And it says, because God is there and Jesus is there. That's the only temple we need, His presence. And so in the same way, we don't need communion when we get there. And so there will be a day when He's coming back to take us home. There we will be with Him and we'll no longer need to take communion. But we'll sit together at His banquet table instead and share in that banquet that's going to be there. How that's going to work out, I have no clue. I mean, if He can take a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread and feed 5,000 people, when you're in heaven, He's going to have everything you need to have a full-blown, full-course meal that's going to satisfy you. And there will probably be food in heaven. There's the tree of life that yields its fruit in its seasons 12 times a year, every month. And so we'll probably eat of that and all the other stuff that's there. Who knows what we're going to have. And your taste buds are going to be perfect. So you're going to enjoy the taste of everything He has for us. So this morning, as we gather around His table, and to start this new year this way, opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit to help us to understand a little clearer the greatness of Christ. None of us knows what a day holds. None of us knows what a month or a year holds. But we know that God does, and He's got a hold of it. So we need to remain faithful. Faithful to Him, faithful to His word. That's what He expects. We need to encourage one another in this day, especially in this day. And the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, and to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He says, that's why you go to church. That's why you gather yourself together. Don't stop doing that, he says, as a lot of people are getting in the habit of. He says, get there and be there, encouraging one another. And all the more as you see his day, that day getting closer. So we need to remain faithful, encouraging one another to be true, encouraging one another to love, encouraging one another to care for each other. And when we do that, the world looks at us and they say, you know, they're kind of weird. But I like that weird. They care about one another. They take care of one another. They're not ridiculing one another. They're not running one another over. They're not belittling one another. They're not doing these things that we see going on all around us. They're different. That's why we need to show through our lives what God has done. Our faith needs to grow and be placed firmly in Him and His Word, who alone is secure enough for us to put our faith in. Why? Because the object of faith is what's the key. If you put your faith in mankind, what are you going to get? Disappointment, disillusionment, and those things. But when you put your faith in God, the object of our faith, He is the perfecter. He is the builder. He is the sustainer that we have. So communion reminds us of who He is. Who is He? He's Lord. He is absolute Lord. And one day we know, the scripture tells us, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Doesn't mean they're all going to heaven, but they're going to have to bow in humility before Him and say, You are Lord of all. You are King of kings. He's the master. He's the master of everything. He's the King of all kings. And the bottom line, which is the awesome thing, is we know Him personally and we call Him by name. So listen this morning to the instruction that God gives us for the Lord's Supper. There in that 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul makes it very clear. And by the way, this is the first evidence and the first writing telling us about communion. This was earlier than the Gospels. So when Paul came out with 1 Corinthians, it was before the Gospel writers came and told us about these things and about communion. Paul is already doing that. He says, For I received from the Lord what I have also passed on to you. On the night that He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In a few moments, we're going to do that with the wafer, the unleavened wafer. They used unleavened bread. We used unleavened wafer. And we're going to break that, and we're going to have that, and we're going to hold that in our hand. We're going to say, This is what represents Him, what He did. We realize that this is not the body of Jesus. This is what represents Him. And we do it in remembrance of Him. And Paul says in the same way, he took the cup and he said, Listen, this cup is the new covenant. Covenants were binding. Covenants are very important. This is a covenant that he's making here. Say, this is the new covenant. The old covenant has been fulfilled and satisfied. This new covenant I'm making with you is established by My blood. Not the blood of some sheep, not the blood of some goat, not the blood of some cow, but by the blood of Jesus Himself. He says, As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So Jesus calls us to remembrance. To remember, the word that's used here in the Greek means to call to mind, to recollect, to think about it, to meditate on it. And you should do that, not just at communion, but daily. Meditate on it. What do we remember? We remember all that He did, all that He taught, all that He stood for, and He promised to us as His children. We remember those things. Many times we need that call to remember, and we need to do so that we don't get things distorted in our lives. You see, Jesus calls us to look afresh, to remember His power, His blood, that has the power to totally cleanse us from sin and the stains that it left. In verses 24 and 25, Paul goes on and he makes that mention where he talks about the fact that this is My body, this is My blood. Verse 26 is the reason we proclaim. Every time we take communion, we're proclaiming to people around us. We're proclaiming to the world. We're proclaiming literally to the spirit world that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. And He's Lord of all. And so these things we do when we take communion. We teach him to our children by example who Jesus is. We constantly proclaim Christ each time we gather at his table. We proclaim to an unsaved world who Jesus is. But there's a caution, Paul says, make sure when you take it, you do it with the right attitude. He says, there's a lot of people among you that are sick, that have died because they did not take the seriousness of communion. We just think, well, it's just communion. Boom, we take the stuff and we go home. It's a serious act. Think about it. Don't take it in a haphazard manner, but take seriously what we are doing here. I am literally remembering and being obedient to the command of Jesus to do this and to remember him. And Paul says a lot of people didn't do that, and they messed themselves up big time. And there's a lot of people today that may be messed up because they've abused the table of communion. We wouldn't look at it like that. The world wouldn't look at it like that. The world would just say, well, they got something. We don't know what it is. We don't know why. A lot of times it can be traced back to the very fact that they did this in an unworthy way. They didn't do it without discerning what was going on, discerning the body of Christ, discerning the blood of Christ and the things that happened and taking that. So we need to make sure that we do that. And so we need to prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper this morning. Let the Holy Spirit search you. Let him go through your heart. Let him point out anything that you need to confess and get right with him, and to let the Holy Spirit speak and minister to you into your heart. And together we'll celebrate this Holy Communion. That's why we're going to have the music play just for a few minutes. And it's a time just to think and to remember and to ask and to reflect. And so we need to make sure that that's what we do in our hearts and our lives. And so let's prepare to take communion. I'm going to have Randy come and take his spot here. One of our